great revival of America begins on November 5th, 2024.
Great Reset versus the Great Revival or the Great Awakening. Yeah. And it's these two, Hegelianism again, kind of pushing the globalist versus the nationalist kind of ideologies pushing against each other. And the Great Reset narrative is kind of dying, and the Great Awakening or Great Revival narrative is really starting to stir up, especially in the United States. But you're seeing elections going towards the right in almost every country in the world. We're seeing this right switch back over, and all of those have religious context to them.
It's almost seems, and this was in so many countries over the past couple of years, where people were leaning to the right, and the left is the one that won.
Yeah.
Canada, America, Brazil, others, you know, in Europe, this situation happened in several countries. And it's making this perfect storm of right push globally.
Yes.
So that we can have this almost like unified worldwide shift of ideology over to the right.
Right. Everyone, Matt Shaunchay here with Mackenzie Drebbit. We're starting another episode of Truth Matters, and we are excited to have you guys here today because we're continuing our talk about the false prophet. And it's not a popular topic because it's pointing to very real figures, prominent figures, in a place where a lot of people have support for these figures and the ideologies behind these figures. But what we're going to see is, as we saw in the last episode, this growing move towards the unification of church and state, and that this is not an absurdity, but a very real, soon coming reality. And we kind of pulled in all the evidential pieces of both the presidential level, the congressional level, and then the church level, of all three voices using the same reasonings for why there should no longer be separation of church and state. And today we're going to go a layer deeper. And we're going to check out this this Trump video and his speech from the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Association. And you actually did a little piece on this earlier, didn't you?
Yes. If you guys haven't seen, go back and take a look at that video. It was on the Sunday laws and Sunday rest days in Europe. And I referenced the NRB meeting and Trump's speech. But today we're going to go really deep and cover all the points so that you guys see really what is going to be happening, especially if Trump becomes the next president again.
Yeah, and we got a lot to cover, so why don't we go ahead and pray and get started. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you in the name of your son, Jesus, that people who hear this message, whether they agree with it or not right off the bat, would just let the evidence speak for itself, that you've told us what's coming and that we might be able to share this and prepare for it so that we might not be caught off guard. So we want to pray for everyone who hears this. We pray for those they pray for, that we all might be found saved in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we've covered a lot of angles of this so far. Project 2025 is a role in this. That was the Heritage Foundation document, along with like 70 other think tanks. And we talked about the role of think tanks and where they come from and who's the head of the Heritage Foundation. And it's all kind of like culminating in this like big body of evidence that's showing like a very Christianized movement coming for the political structures within the United States.
Yeah.
Now this goes a layer deeper. We showed in the last episode like a lot of these clips, but now we're going to show a trimmed down version of the most important pieces of this Trump speech. And it's important because he spent an hour and a half on just one location with this one group of people. This was an extremely large gathering of both Catholic and evangelical. And there are other denominations too, but it's generally those two that are in the audience here.
Yeah.
And Trump is going to kind of take us in the next step of this journey for people who think church and state is a ridiculous notion, that it would never happen, that we are getting closer than ever. And the words that are being used and the sentiments that are being expressed, like we looked in the last episode, like they want the enforcement of her dogmas.
Yeah.
They're going to use the civil government for the accomplishment of her own ends. Like, this speech is going to really hit home, I think, with people, that what we've been saying this whole time is actually coming to fruition.
Yes. we're going to see that. And he's not short on words. He's very direct, very clear what the intent is. And it'll be very clear by the time we're done.
Yep. So let's go ahead and get started.
I was going to miss this. The plane was coming in. That plane was coming in. I said, are we okay to the pilot? He said, I think so. I didn't like that answer. I think we're okay, sir. I think we should be okay. I'm saying, should we turn back? He said, I wouldn't mind if we did. I said, I don't have the courage to turn back from these people. Just land the sucker, would you please? Little rough weather out there. Thank you very much, everybody. And it's a true honor to be here in this beautiful Nashville with, this is a great place, with the National Religious Broadcasters. What an important group. And they're giving you a hard time in Washington, but you won't have a hard time in about 11 months from now, I can tell you. Senator, ooh, you got the whole group here tonight. This is power. This is power from above. Heritage Foundation president, somebody else doing an unbelievable job. He's bringing it back to levels it's never seen. Dr. Kevin Roberts.
We actually mentioned Kevin Roberts by name in our Project 2025 episode as this Catholic leader that is head of the Heritage Foundation, whose goal is to create policies that would mirror that of the papacy.
Yep.
Now, we even have him quoted in this article saying that the golden era of American conservatism will soon emerge. Mm-hmm. Now, this was from back in 2021. And what we've seen since then is just a growing and growing and growing Christianized movement, political movement in the United States. And this kind of matches this idea that the golden era of American conservatism, if that's kind of defined by a Christian value-based one, starts to make sense as we have put all these pieces together. But I just thought it was kind of interesting that we just did an episode about this and he was a part of it. And here he is front and center at this Trump speech and Trump is mentioning him by name. That's because he played and the Heritage Foundation played such an important role in making that 900-page document that identifies on page 589 that the Sabbath should be a part of this new system, a Sunday Sabbath.
And he's saying that he's bringing it to new levels that it's never been.
Exactly. So this golden era of American conservatism will be this Christian religious movement that's growing in America. So I just thought that was an interesting side note that maybe our viewers would find helpful.
Pastor Robert Jeffress, he's up there all the time, and he's always saying good things. A long time ago, when I just announced he was on Fox, of all places, and he said, no, he may not know the Bible as well as some. He may not know every passage. He may not know it actually so well at all.
Okay, I'm pausing it there because he's referring to himself. This Pastor Jeffers is on the Fox News interview, and he's talking about Trump being this great Christian leader, and he's saying he may not even know the Bible. Well, in our last episode, we had Trump with his selling the Easter Bibles.
Yep.
And he said in that promo that it's my favorite book.
Right.
He doesn't know. He knows he doesn't know the Bible. Other people around him know he doesn't really know the Bible. But he's acting as this Christian magnet, this Christian figure. And they're okay with it because it means that they're going to get the political clout that they need to do what they think they're justified by God to do. So I found this kind of a hypocritical. Yesterday he says it's his favorite and he knows it and he loves it and buy a Bible. I've got all these Bibles. Yep. And then in this speech, he's acknowledging that even the pastors that are there know he doesn't really know the Bible. And Jeffers is a Southern Baptist, did we find out?
Yes.
And so when we look at the evangelical view of the 70 weeks, which will be in our future episodes when we continue to break down the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9, because they're directly related with the church and state unification movement, the Third Temple movement. All of this centralizes around the Third Temple understanding, and the Southern Baptist Church is one of the staunchest promoters of this Third Temple ideology where Israel, God still has this role for the nation of Israel to accomplish when with the 70 weeks we're teaching maybe doesn't include that. So all of this is like tied in together. These episodes and the 70 weeks episodes all harmonize with each other.
It is. It's very combined. It's very interlaced. And this Robert Jeffress, I don't know exactly how you pronounce his last name, He wrote a book called Are We Living in the End Times? He wrote over 30 books. So he's quite a published author.
And about and, mostly about like end time prophetic stuff, right?
Yes. Okay. And he has, and others, he has some on just, you know, love and
more
Jesus
general.
And yeah. general things. But he puts an emphasis here. And some of the topics in the book is what does the Bible mean by the end times? What role does Israel play in the end times? Mm-hmm. What's the signal for these events? What's the difference between the rapture, second coming, and the end times? So we have all these topics that we're exactly talking about now, which connects to 70 weeks. And also, he is a pastor at quite a large church, a mega church. I believe it was around 14 or 15,000 members, wow. something like this, in his church.
Wow. And when you think about, like, we've just ad nauseum told us that this the audience, that it's going to be Catholic principles and Protestants coming together.
Yeah.
And the first two people he mentions in his speech is Catholic Kevin Roberts and an evangelical Southern Baptist pastor who
First Baptist Church, yeah.
From the First Baptist Church, who writes about Israel and the Third Temple and end time prophecy.
Yeah.
So, like, this is how...
That's what's influencing
on.
This.
Yes. Yeah. So he's up there making this speech to these people, and he's just told you who his audience is. Mm-hmm. Evangelical Protestants and Catholics.
Yeah.
This is the powers that we've been saying watch out for. The powers that want to unify church and state. And I just kind of found that like almost a perfect example mm-hmm. of what we're dealing with. The first two people he mentions are the yeah. powerful Catholic and the powerful evangelical who teaches about the Third Temple and Israel.
But he's the greatest leader, and he is a believer and a strong believer, and he's going to take us to places that we would never have been taken before. And he turned out to be right. He turned out to be right.
So the Southern Baptist pastor is saying Donald Trump's going to take us. And who
yes.
does he mean? Who's the us? This is
the
evangelical Christian worldview.
Yep.
He's going to take us into the White House, and Trump is all
yep.
too happy
Where
and ready.
We've never been.
Yes.
So, Robert, thank you very much. Here at home, Christians knew that victory depended not only on the force of American arms, but also on the faith in American hearts. And we've got to get more of that back in our country today. We really do have to get more of it back. Your institution was formed to give voice to an army of preachers and ministers and faith leaders who fought every day to strengthen America with the good news of the gospel. And the love of Jesus Christ. This time, the greatest threat is not from the outside of our country. I really believe this. It's from within. It's the people from within our country that are more dangerous than the people outside. We can handle China. We can handle Russia. We can handle all of them if you have a smart leader. But the inside people are very dangerous. They're very sick people, in my opinion, in many cases. They're sick.
So in this, the idea that, like, the enemy is now within the borders.
Yeah.
And when we have advocated for America being this role in prophecy, it's like taking this, like, it's going to take a huge change in America to bring about the mark of mm-hmm. the beast, the image of the beast. And so when he's saying, let's not worry about Russia and China and all this stuff, it again fits the prophetic interpretation we've been advocating for absolutely perfectly.
Yeah.
There has to be a massive fundamental shift towards Christian religious principles in the government for this to occur. And this is what he is saying the problem is inside the borders with the hearts and minds based on a lack of Christian faith.
I'm here today because I know that to achieve victory in this fight, just like in the battles of the past, we still need the hand of our Lord and the grace of Almighty God. We have to have that. Our country is being destroyed by a radical left, corrupt political class that has gone communist, Marxist, and even fascist. I used to say we will never have a socialist state, and I was right. We passed over socialism. Socialism's a nice way by comparison to where we are. From Joe Biden on down, and I'm not sure that Biden knows what the hell's going on. I don't think he knows he's alive, actually.
So he's really pinning the two sides apart, right? We have the radical leftist, the mm-hmm. woke agenda.
Which he's saying this, Biden is the leader
yeah,
of.
That doesn't even know he's alive. And then we have him, who is Jesus' love and wanting the church back in control of the state, and he's going to get very in detail about this. So now you look like you have two options. The only option is either far left extremist, which the conservatives don't want to be part of that.
And even people who were okay with that before have seen it go so far past that they're sick of it, that maybe before they were okay with it, but now they will take anything that's not that.
And so now he's saying he's the only other option, which is this, which is going to really, it's going to remove that boundary of church and state.
And what's interesting to me is in the last election, I couldn't tell you how many of my American friends and family were like, literally a rock could run against Donald Trump and I'd vote for the rock. Uh-huh. Because it's anything but Donald Trump.
Right.
And so that, in that
and
aspect.
And somehow it shift like it's anything but Biden now.
Exactly. And this is Hegelianism swinging in more and more extremes, because to get the anti-Trump meant the second Catholic president in U.S. history. Do you see how it like the synthesis that goes into Hegelianism? Because they didn't want the horrible left, but it gave them the opportunity to get their Catholic president in there at a point when Americans didn't even care about Catholicism. They just didn't want a big portion of them didn't want Trump. And so the problems that JFK had in going around and basically being like, I'm American first and a Catholic second, weren't even conversations during Biden's, because all he was already set up to just be the winner based on contrast to Donald Trump. But in that process, it furthered the agenda, because now they've got the papal stooge who doesn't shy away from the role, the power that Catholics and Jesuits have in his worldview. And now he's taking it so bad that people are just like, give me God. And if God represents Trump, then I'll take Trump again.
Yeah.
This is massive societal level Hegelianism. And the synthesis is the evangelical unification.
And we're not saying that it would be any better to have Biden, because he's not going to remove church and
Certainly
state.
Not.
He would do the same thing because he's Catholic.
Yeah.
That is what they want. So you have the Protestant side, and then you have the Catholic side, which both want the same thing. Because why? Because one's the mother, one's the daughter, and they want unity.
Yeah. And to me, it's fascinating, like, that the mindset of the two-party choice is so ingrained in people that if we talk poorly about one party, they assume that we automatically support the other one, when the full body of our work shows us talking tons about Biden and the Catholic influence and how bad it has been to create this whole mess that people feel like we're in now. So the two-party system, is the whole thing is a stage show, essentially, and we're not advocating for either side.
Now they have thrown open our borders to an illegal alien invasion.
Evangelical Protestants and Catholics.
Criminals and savage
this
gangs.
Is the powers that we've been saying watch out for. The powers that want to unify church and state. And I just kind of found that like almost
weaponizing
a perfect example
parents,
of what we're dealing with. The first two people
Catholics,
he mentions are
Catholics.
The powerful Catholic and the powerful
Catholics?
Evangelical who teaches about
Catholics?
The third temple. And,
do we
and
have
Israel.
Any Catholics in this audience? Raise your hand, please. I just want to see. Not too many, but I will tell you, how the hell do you vote for this person? They have gone after Catholics. That's probably why we don't have any in this audience. There are none left.
This is the most funniest thing, because he's a Protestant.
Supposedly.
But, I mean, his wife is Catholic.
Yeah.
And he's really emphasizing how pushed down Catholics are.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure that that's actually the case, but he's making this case because in order for everything to work out how they planned, the Catholics do have to get a higher position, higher force, and a higher voice.
Well, and what's crazy is how much higher does it get than they're the current president. They're 7 of 9 Supreme Court justices. They were just Nancy Pelosi, which was Speaker of the House. They just had Patrick, I can't remember Patrick Mahaney, his last name. Anyway, he was the head of the Senate. He was, when the vice president isn't there, he was the second in command. And he's a Roman Catholic. So I don't know how much more elevated in the American system they could get. But the narrative that they're persecuted.
Yeah, if you say the narrative enough, that's what people think. Oh, we have to change that.
Yeah, and poor old Catholics. True. Imagine that's just his view. Poor old Catholics.
Yeah.
Now when he gets in, he's sympathetic to that, along with the evangelical push. But I think we know the majority of the audience now, based on this question and him looking out, it's majority evangelical Christians. But we see with Kevin Roberts there and a few others that I'm sure are very powerful, the mother is is always present in these things, even if it's mostly the daughters attending.
Yeah.
You know, so the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
But there's one sitting in first row, and he's a very important one, I will tell you.
That's Kevin Roberts.
No, but how Catholics? I mean, they're being persecuted, Catholics. But evangelicals, and they're all on the list. For all Americans, but especially for Christians, nothing is more important than to defeat this wicked system and to return to fair, equal, and impartial justice under the constitutional rule of law. You have to return to the constitutional rule of law.
So he mentioned immigration and before that, and kind of immigration has always been a very, like, if you look at where most of the convoys are coming from, they're coming from Catholic countries. Yeah. The funding getting to them, I had articles that were written that had been removed from the internet talking about how the Catholic Church was funding a lot of these organizations. The head of the UN right now, Antonio Guterres, he's a Roman Catholic, and the UN has these like rechargeable cards that they're giving the leaders of these migrant groups that they're paying them to like just bring them in droves. And a lot of this is like Catholic social teaching, right? These empty borders, but it's really, as we've seen in historical writings, so that they can flood nations with Catholics that now will sympathize with their worldview. But on the flip side of that, it's always a double-edged sword with the papacy. Now it's given the reason for, we've got to close our borders, we've got to get rid of these criminals, we've got to get our country locked down and under Christian principles. Like, it's all fuel to the fire to the end goal, which is the evangelical power having the power to unite church and state. And the Catholics are in the background saying, yeah, sure, you guys can do that. That sounds nice. Yeah.
Hey, guys, thank you for watching Truth Matters. We just wanted to jump in the middle of the program and ask if you've been impacted by the material that we put together here on this program or by any of the programs that we do here at Amazing Discoveries, and it's in your heart to support this message, please take the time to donate. Every dollar matters. Every view matters. People have not heard this message yet, and the only way we can share it is with your support. So thank you for watching, and thank you for helping us reach other souls for Christ's kingdom.
We're not there. We have to begin immediately. The restoration of law and justice in America begins with firing crooked Joe Biden on November 5th, 2024. If we don't fire him, our country, I believe, is doomed. I believe it's doomed. As you know, the left is trying to shame Christians. They try and shame us. I'm a very proud Christian, actually. I've been very busy fighting and, you know, taking the bullets, taking the arrows. I'm taking them for you, and I'm so honored to take them. You have no idea. I'm being indicted for you, as I say. I'm being indicted over and over and over.
Okay, so how many presidents have had essentially something in their presidency that they could have been indicted for, something in their personal lives they could have been indicted for? Almost every president in history could have had something. You had the things like the Watergate scandal and things like that, but you have other things like, I won't even get into George Bush Jr.'s time during all the 9/11 stuff in the Iraq War, like Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. Like, there was evil stuff happening, and no trials ever come of anything, yet he gets persecuted after a lot of after he was the election was stolen from him. That's another narrative that's being used. And it's my belief that all of the even the indictments are shows to get people to make him feel like he's persecuted.
Well, he's playing a martyr, right?
Yes, he's playing the role of the martyr.
He is almost becoming a saint to the Christians because, wow, look, if he's getting this, that's what they'll do to us, right? They're making that correlation there, which is technically true. And so it puts him in a very good position of support because, guys, I'm just a person. Look what they're doing to me. If you think they're going to do this to me, they'll do this to you way easier.
Yeah. And he says, I'm taking the bullets for you. I'm taking the arrows. Like, I am your knight in shining armor here. And it's just like he's just laying it on thick. And unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of people that are buying this, what he's saying here, and can't really see the forest for the trees. And it gets really interesting when you start seeing who Trump's bosses are, and we get into the power structures of the world and really the secret societies, the Knights of Malta. I've got pictures of him inside of Knights of Malta meetings, sitting on thrones with a red gown on, you know, like a kingly robe, so to speak. He is deeply entrenched into the secret orders of the world. And let me tell you, he's not sitting at the top of them. So when he's playing this role, he's fulfilling the will of other people that we'll get into in another episode.
Yeah. Me, I get indicted and my numbers go up. What the hell is going on? Because the people know it's a scam. They understand it. They know we're being scammed. True. It's so true. They want to silence you, demoralize you, and keep you out of politics. Stay the hell out of politics. We have to stick together as a party. We have enough of a fight on whether you call it the radical left or the communists or the fascists or whatever you want to call them. That's our fight, and we have to save our country. But Christians...
So you see he's building this like warlike mentality. It's us against them. We've got to fight them. We got to be united. We got to... And it's
common
all...
Common enemy.
Yes. And the calling card is Christian, forced Christian principle.
They can't afford to sit on the sidelines in this fight. They have to really get out there. They have to do what they have to do, and they have to win. The chains are already tightening around all of us. I mean, if you think about it, ultimately, the radical left is coming after all of us because they know that our allegiance is not to them. Our allegiance is to our country, and our allegiance is to our Creator. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. How any Christian can vote for a Democrat, Christian or person of faith, how you can vote for a Democrat is crazy.
So this is one of the reasons why separation of church and state is like has many layers to it, and that you don't want to influence like whole churches on the religious basis, because then he can do this. How could you be a follower of God and vote for this party? And then it puts the person against the dictates of their faith versus the dictates of their conscience in some cases. And here, this is like, these are the small things when you start getting rid of those layers where you basically are just like picking political candidates based on the religious ideologies, i.e. unification of church and state again. And so he's already crossing into these boundaries, and he doesn't care because he's here to destroy those walls.
It's very funny because he said Catholics are being persecuted, but Biden's a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but Biden's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you vote for a Democrat? Well, if you want Catholics to be more, so they're just playing both sides of the
totally
the,
playing both sides. Yeah. Here he's pointing to Kevin Roberts in the front row saying, wow, what a powerful Catholics persecuted. And the president is a Catholic, and he's saying don't vote for him. So does he not like the Catholics, or does he like the Catholics? Because in this case, the Democrat is the Catholic.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They've got to stop. They've got to stop because it's hard. You know, we have to really go out and on November 5th, and we have to get votes like nobody ever got before because they always cheat. We have some great safeguards, a lot of things. The last time... Well, we won one that we weren't supposed to win. They went crazy, and they decided to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And we were somewhat unsuspecting, and they did something that really has set back our country tremendously. But we're going to get votes. I will tell you, we did phenomenally in 2016. We won. We did much better in 2020. We got millions and millions of more votes, and we got scammed. And the enthusiasm was probably the likes of which nobody's ever seen in an election in this country for the both of them. The enthusiasm for this election coming up in November is far greater than it was in 2016 or 2020.
He's right about that because they've intentionally, in my opinion, they've intentionally brought this to a boil. And that gap between his first term and this next term, all it's done is just increase the pressure.
Yeah.
And it people can sense like something's ready to burst. There are people that are on my family's side that are like, if he gets elected again, I'm leaving the country. Where others are saying, if he doesn't get elected again, I'm going to go to war over this. And so you see the tension that has been built is so thick you could cut it with a knife. As we get closer and closer to this, I think we can be, we should all be very wary and ready for a lot of unexpected chaos in some form or another.
Definitely.
We shouldn't be caught off guard.
Greater. It's not even a contest. I've never seen anything like it. Even coming over here, everybody has a Trump sign. Trump, Trump, Trump. And, you know, unfortunately, we're still 9 months away, a little more than 9 months away. And the sad part is that the incompetence of this man and this administration can do tremendous damage in 9 months. And it's a long time. You know, 9 months sounds like it's short, and it, politically speaking, is pretty short. It's not a long period. But the damage they do is just overwhelming, what they're allowing to happen to our country. What they cannot stand is that, in the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to God in heaven. We do. We answer to God in heaven. So today I come before you as a friend and an ally and a fellow believer to ask for your help and your support and your prayers for this country. We need your prayers, most importantly. And I make you a simple promise. In my first term, I fought for Christians harder than any president has ever done before. You know that. You know that. And I will fight even harder for Christians with 4 more years in the White House. We did things that the likes of which nobody has ever done.
I would say just I'll fight harder for Christians. But like, as a president, isn't the well-being of the people, of the citizens, supposed to be your primary objective?
Equally.
Like, it's upholding, as the president, upholding the premise of the Constitution, which, you know, allows each person to worship and believe according to the dictates of their own conscience. It's things like this that you actually don't want to see as a Christian, because it's that type of mind, like narrow-mindedness, that has historically led to horrible, hate-filled mindsets against other groups of people.
So, and it feels good. It feels nice. Like, everything he's saying can come across as great if you're thinking about yourself and you're a Christian.
And you're a Christian. And yeah.
All the context there, and you believe in all his Christian values.
Right.
But as soon as you start going into the details, that becomes very worrying.
Yeah, and it should be for anybody, especially if they're not Christian, to be like, well, why would I want a president who's like has prioritized one group of people over anyone else? And as Christians, like, you think
like
we'd be excited.
Saying, I'm going to make sure that this one child is good to go.
And their voices are heard and their perspectives are shared. Yeah. And the other ones, we're just going to kind of.
Yeah, we won't mention them, though.
Yeah. No.
We're Christians in this country, and I'm very proud of that and honored by it. Just think of what, with God's help, we already achieved in our historic first term. Just a few of the things under my leadership and working with you and a lot of the great people in the room. Under my leadership, we did more.
So the great people in the room are the think tanks. So like, we really emphasized in the 2025 episodes the powerful role of think tanks in the policy formation of countries all over the world, including the United States. So like, think tanks are incredibly influential in creating real world like laws and bills that eventually become laws. And that should be, people should be aware of how the process works and not just think like ignore those roles, because it gives us an insight into when we see things like we had massive legislation passed during the whole health crisis. When those bills were written, there was so much packed in there, and you heard of the highlight stuff, but there were things that were approved that people would not be happy about, that come in through these large bills that are usually introduced during the times of crisis because, oh, we have to pass them. I would not put it past them of creating another crisis that in a bill they pass a whole bunch of religious-based principle things.
To uphold religious freedom than any administration in history, and everybody agrees. So, Robert, I guess you were right, weren't you, huh? We fearlessly protected the conscience, rights, doctors, nurses, teachers, and faith groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. We fought very hard alongside of them, and we had some incredible results. I blocked the IRS from using the Johnson Amendment to interfere with pastors' freedom of speech.
Okay. the Johnson Amendment. Huge block in the separation of church and state, which keeps pastors, ministers, church leaders from publicly endorsing and convincing their congregations to vote for a particular political candidate. This is a huge piece that Trump, I don't know if he talks about it in this speech or something else I heard. If he brings it up, I apologize, and we'll cover it again later. But he actively said that he wants these leaders to endorse him, and they come and say, well, we can't federally, by law, can't do that. And here he's saying he went in his first term and got rid of that, so that way people could publicly, on the pulpit, publicly make political endorsement kind of statements. Yeah. And that, again, like, people are like, oh, well, like, church and state doesn't happen overnight. You will see it coming in these piece by piece components that are happening in the real world. Yet when it happens, some people are going to be like, how did we get here?
And it's worked out in darkness. So it's, we see these little things showing up, which means if we see this, there's a lot more already taking place underground.
Yeah.
Because once they get the right catalyst to actually do this, they're like, hey, we have all this ready.
Yep. Oh, you know, look, this is already, the solution is already put together. No, you're absolutely right.
And Joe Biden is trying to take it back. He's trying to take it away. They used that. I'll never forget. I was in New York in Trump Tower. It was 2015. I had probably 45 pastors, some rabbis. And but we had people of faith and teachers of faith and very people I want to hear from. And I said, I'd love to have your endorsement. And they looked a little bit like bewildered. And they said, no, I don't, we just can't do that. I'm wondering, because they had come up two or three times. We got along great. We all agreed on just about everything. But when I said, I'd love to have your endorsement, the room went sort of silent. And I called one of them over and I said, what's wrong? I don't understand. Why wouldn't you endorse me? I mean, the person you're talking about. But I said, why aren't they endorsing me? I'm so much better. I mean, I don't want to brag, but I am so much for what you are all about, and what you're about is the most important thing. They said, sir, we're not allowed to. We have a thing called the Johnson Amendment. I never heard of that. I said, what is it? Well, if we openly support somebody, politically, we could lose everything. They'll take away, we have a tax-exempt status. They'll take that away. Churches will be devastated, will be devastated. I said, I never knew that. This was Lyndon Johnson, very powerful.
So here's the exact story I was just referencing.
Yeah.
And he's, even as a potential presidential candidate, you should have a basic understanding of the Constitution and the elements that make up why separation of church and state was such a big deal. He doesn't even know about the Johnson Amendment. Yeah. He's ready to just throw it out of the way just so he can get his endorsements.
Yep.
And we see that the political or the faith leaders are hyper aware of the amendment, because it could get them stripped of their tax exempt status. Yep. Because it's such an important component to the separation of church and state that they've literally put that wall there that strips the nonprofit status or whatever it is, the tax exempt status from them, which is obviously a major component of a religious organization structure. So these building blocks that put it in place, Trump is seriously going one by one and removing them piece by piece.
The president, actually powerful guy, knew how to get things done, and he had a problem with, I guess they say, a pastor in Houston or Dallas, big problem. And he did this. He put this horrible rule into effect, and it was a very strong rule. And I said, so, and we were on the 68th floor of Trump Tower, and we're looking down on Fifth Avenue. I said, so that means that any person down there has equal power to you people, and you're the people that everybody wants to listen to, but you're not allowed to back that up because you need some political strength. They said, essentially, that's right. We can't really do anything because we'll lose tax-exempt status and other things. And I said, that's too bad.
I thought it was interesting that he's basically like, so all these normal people down here, the people want to hear from you.
Yeah.
But that's why the amendment's in place.
Right.
Because there's such a powerful influence that if the leaders got corrupted, which, does that happen in human nature? Constantly, at every level of society, that this would lead to a massive struggle over the hearts and minds of people, dictates of conscience, religious principles, religious liberty. The whole nine yards is tied up into this Johnson Amendment in its foundation.
And then if he removes that, he looks like a hero, right? Because he's allowing them to say what they want politically, get even support or whatever financially, that'll change things. And that just makes it better for these organizations, these pastors, these evangelists. And now, obviously, they're going to be in support of him because they just freed them. They took the chains off.
Well, it's like, let's say you're the biggest advocate for church and state, and some guy with power comes and starts making church state happen. He's going to be your hero.
Yeah.
Right. And so if his goal is to get the things out of the way that separates church and state, and the evangelicals, as the daughters and the harlot mother, the papacy, all want church and state united, then this guy's going to look like the good guy. And obviously he's been placed in this role to be this character.
Said, if I get in, we are going to totally void out the Johnson Amendment. And I was able to do that. We voided it out. And you were able to speak because you're the people that I want to hear from and that other people want to hear from. And you're not allowed to speak. And you should be allowed. If you see somebody that believes in Christianity, if you see somebody that loves evangelicals or Israel, which has become more and more prominent in your thoughts and your prayers.
Connection to Israel and this Judeo-Christian unification happening.
Yeah, I mean, he says it to a T. He says evangelicals and Israel in the same sentence, like, and the Johnson Amendment. Like, this could not be more spot on for Adventist prophetic interpretation for the false prophet being American Protestantism, specifically evangelicalism. Like, it is 100% spot on. And like even somebody who is a statistical probability expert to figure out if people writing 100 plus years ago with such detail would match in such synchronicity with what's happening now, it's either pure statistical anomaly or it is absolutely just a correct understanding of scripture. Yeah. And I think it's easier to determine which one it is when you put the whole body together. This interpretation is correct.
You should be able to vote and to promote the person that's backing the ideas that you love and cherish and are very important. So I thought it was the most ridiculous thing. Anyway, we got rid of it, and people took a much more active stance, and that's great. And we're going to do it again, and we're going to get it out now permanently. We were putting it in the tax, but we had tremendous bite back on that. But for 4 years, we went through a great period. You were able to speak. And we're going to make that on a permanent basis. You're going to be able to do it because you're the people we want to hear from, the pastors and the ministers and the rabbis. The people in this room are the people we want to hear from, and they have to have a political voice. You have such power, but you weren't allowed to use that power, and you're now allowed to use it. I get in there, you're going to be using that power at a level that you've never used it before. It's going to bring back the churchgoer. I mean, you have to see. I don't like
this right here, that you're going to be using power that you've never had before.
Yeah. At a level you've never had before.
That's a pretty scary statement, because that's exactly what Revelation 13 says.
Yeah.
That the church is going to control the state at a level that we've never seen before.
Yep. And we're going to get back the churchgoer. We're going to get back. This sounds like the religious revival. And he's talking to a room of evangelicals.
Yep.
So when he keeps saying, you're the people I want to hear from. But evangelical Christianity is such a specific view that there's a whole realm of things that he's saying he'd rather hear from them than these other groups of people. So now when we see what's happening with the Abraham Accords, with moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, with the movement to build the third temple, this is all evangelical dogmas being enforced by the civil government of the United States. And it's just beginning. Like, these are just the early tremors before the massive earthquake that's coming, metaphorically.
The charts, when I see charts where they're going in the wrong direction, we don't like that. We're going to bring it back. And I really believe it's the biggest thing missing from this country. It's the biggest thing missing. We have to bring back our religion. We have to bring back Christianity in this country. I issued guidance making clear that the right of freedom to worship does not end at the door at a public school. And I supported school prayer, very important. School prayer, which we unfortunately had to force into some schools. It should be very
forcing prayer back into the school, yep. and what will he continue to be forcing?
Yeah, and that's like the element. He says to protect freedom of religion. He just said that. And the next few words, he starts using the word force.
Yeah.
Because the freedom of religion isn't really freedom of religion. He's saying freedom of evangelical Judeo. I'll include like Jews in there, yeah. but it's really just all mashed up Catholicism, Judaism, and evangelical Christianity that yeah. all kind of are merged together, but under the wrong pretenses. And that, again, excludes like this whole wide range like of people who are not okay with having their children pray Christian prayers in school. And while we would like people to choose to have that and they could pray on their own, we would never force a school filled with children to pray if that wasn't what their conviction or their family's convictions were for those things. Because yeah. Christ died for the ability for us to have the freedom of choice even if we choose to not follow him. And that obviously is sad. But this concept, if they're forcing prayer in school now and they think that the voices they want to hear are evangelicals, then the force that's coming is only going to increase. It doesn't stop with prayer in school. It doesn't stop with the Johnson Amendment being removed. You're seeing the layers being kicked out, and eventually it's going to be so powerful, this system, that if you don't follow along with it, like we saw at the end of the last episode, if you don't worship the image of the beast, you'll be offered up to be killed.
Yeah.
Easy. You would think it would be very easy, but it wasn't, but we did it. I was the first and only president to convene a meeting of the United Nations to end religious persecution worldwide. First time they've ever done it. They were not thrilled, but that was okay.
Just says he went to end religious persecution worldwide, but he just forced prayer back in school.
Yeah.
But like if you're Buddhist, Hindu, whatever, atheist, and you're in that school, isn't it kind of religious persecution to be forced to pray mm-hmm. Christian prayers? That is a form of religious persecution, especially when it's turned up
yep.
all the way. So he's like speaking out of two sides of his mouth here.
You know, this kind of goes into, I guess the example I would have is like racism. So we have, you know, racism against white versus blacks. Now, whites can be racist, but blacks can't, or Asians or Mexican or whatever. However, you know, certain groups can be racist and others just by default can't be racist mm-hmm. somehow, which is illogical when you follow it all the way through.
Yeah.
And same here. So is it only persecution of Christians that's bad? And if you force other religions, that's not persecution, because by definition, it's only persecution if it's against Christians that have my exact worldview.
Well, yeah, I think your example is a good one. It's like saying, I want to end racism while also forcing all schools to be only white schools, and you can only, or you have to wear something if you're not white. Like, that's yeah. that's not ending racism. That's enforcing racism, because you're yeah. picking a particular group and saying that they're better or more special than others.
Right.
And look, we're advocating
based on their melanin and their skin.
Yeah, exactly. But we're advocating for people to become Christian, but it's by a power that's given when you have a relationship with the Bible, because something happens when that occurs that you see it's different. But like the idea that you could force everybody is just more persecution, not a defender of religious freedom.
Yeah.
I did it. I signed an executive order to install faith advisors in every federal department and agency so that your voice and the Christian worldview would be heard in the halls of power in Washington and all over the world. It was a very big deal.
That the Christian worldview would be heard.
He just said he's placing and has placed and will place faith advisors for the Christian worldview at every level of government. If this isn't like ringing in people's minds, what we've been saying the whole time, that this Christian church state power is coming, I don't know what else. How else to show, but based on this episode and the last one, the mounting weight of evidence to show that this is happening, and
yeah.
people need to like stop worrying about Russia and China and all of these other things and start seeing what's happening in America with this movement towards church and state, because it's like this is scary stuff coming from a presidential yeah. candidate's mouth.
Very proud of it. Wasn't that easy to do, you know that. 4 years, we totally transformed the federal bench appointing nearly 300 federal judges to interpret the law and the Constitution as written, a record.
300 judges, and because he's telling this to an evangelical group of people, what do you think the worldview is of most of those judges?
It's obviously Christian.
To interpret the law. Now imagine we're talking about Sunday laws, and you have 300 judges and an evangelical power that has faith advisors at every level and are getting God back in your schools by force and are getting God back in your government by force. How are people not think that we're crazy by thinking like religious laws could be made in the future? It's almost like the opposite.
He's made religious laws.
He already has. He's already started. And so now by placing these judges and people at these positions, is that going to increase the move towards religious laws or decrease?
Oh, 100% increase.
With like bullet train speed. Yeah, yeah. It's like it's going to go faster than ever. And so like I'm hoping that there are secular people that watch this and start to like care about things that are religious, maybe when they wouldn't normally, because laws are going to be made in favor of these things, whether we like it or not.
And we went over, you know, the Jesuit Sunday law documents and other things like that. And when we look historically at this shift, went from just the separation of church and state to now removing that barrier, everything is happening that much faster at every stage, because when one barrier goes down, then you can move that much faster, and then the next one and that much faster, and the next one that much faster. And it's, if you have now a crisis that removes all barriers, then there really is nothing that can stop it. It's going to go straight ahead and it's going to be full blown. We can't even imagine how fast that things could start moving.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the birth pain ideas, where it's like it's contractions closer and closer and more intense.
Exactly.
And like his first term had intensity, but the next term, if he were to get in, the intensity would be so much more towards this view that he's advocating. I mean, this was from, you know, February of this year. Like it's very recent, all of this stuff. And so we see that more and more this is going to build. And while the rest of the world is looking other places, this is the thing that we're warning about in our interpretation as the next major component to come on the scene, prophetically speaking.
I withstood vicious attacks to pick and confirm three great Supreme Court justices. The great, great justices, great people. They're great people. Neil Gorsuch.
Roman Catholic.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Roman Catholic.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Roman Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting? He was just saying, don't vote for the Democrats who have a Catholic president, but he's praising Kevin Roberts, Catholic, sets three Supreme, has three seats. He gets in a four-year term, three Supreme Court seats, and he loads all three of them up with Catholics.
Yeah.
Gorsuch and Kavanaugh went to the same Jesuit prep school, Georgetown Jesuit prep school, as each other. So they're directly related to the Jesuit order. And Amy Coney Barrett, I never got a chance to do the Prophecy Report episode on the judges, but she was part of a hardcore Catholic like cult, essentially, where women weren't allowed to live on their own if they weren't married. They had to live with other men and their wives, and they're married off and kind of put in these groups. It had Handmaiden Tale-esque, which is a show about like this Christianized United States with like scary forced Christian principles. And Amy Coney Barrett comes from this hardcore Catholic viewpoint that interprets things very differently than I think the average person would. So the fact that he's named three Supreme Court justices, all Roman Catholic, that are going to play a major role in allowing the separation of church and state to occur, these are like so many red flags that if we were in a court of law, like the defense would have a lot to make up for to say, well, no, that's not really how it is, because there's systematically at every level so many pieces that are pointing to one specific group and one end goal to the whole thing.
Never again will the federal government be used to target religious believers. They are targeting religious.
So he says never again will the government be used to target religious believers. And that's exactly opposite of every single thing that he said, because we're targeting religious believers. We're going to force prayer. We're going to force this. We're going to force a Sunday law. We're going to force you not to buy or sell. We're going to, you know, he just didn't say that fully, but that's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
But we're not going to have the federal government force against the evangelical Judeo-Christian.
That's what it should say.
Yeah, Catholic regime.
Yes, the false prophet and the beast. So the papacy and the apostate Protestantism will never be targeted again. But there will absolutely be government-based religious persecution in the future. It is 100% certainty because that's the outcome of a church and state
system. Church and state combination means religious persecution. There's no other outcome.
There is no other outcome. And for those people who think that it's not coming, it's already starting because it's not just being in the persecuting space. It's getting the support and the political clout and positions to be able to pull it off. And that's what we're seeing now is the formation of this whole thing.
And what's the definition of religious to him? Because he keeps using, there will never be religious persecution, religious this, religious that. And we need religion to be heard. And then he says, evangelical, some Jews, and Catholics. That's his definition of religion.
Yeah.
All the other religions are not actually religions.
Yeah.
Whether they're Christian or not, but if they are not in that line of, we have this third temple mission, we have this religious laws that we want to do nationally, yeah, all of this, those aren't religions. So he's using that word very sophisticatedly to say what he's trying to do.
Yeah, it's just specific to this group, but by using religion, he's making it seem like it's more open.
Yeah.
But it's really, like you said, a very particular worldview, because I doubt that our worldview as Adventists would fit within the range of what he would consider
Definitely
to be
not.
Protected, right? Because it's calling out the evangelical and papal and Judeo understanding on a lot of these things. So I imagine we would not be accounted amongst the ones that would not be persecuted. So understanding how the system works allows us to decode when they're talking, because so many people are very, you know, they operate from an emotional place. And generally, most people aren't informed on these things well enough to not be able to like put the emotions aside and just hear it for what it is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're trying as a program to educate people to, for their ears and eyes, to be able to decode this stuff, to know how the system works and where it's going. So you can be like, wow, that stands out like a sore thumb. Because there are people who watch this who aren't even Trump supporters, but see the world's going not so great and probably agree with like some of the stuff that he's saying. And like, you know what? Maybe I do agree with that.
You hear these nice buzzwords that for you make a certain connection and a certain link and a certain chain. But we have to understand what they mean by that.
Right.
You know, what their definition of this is.
Yes.
You know, if we use the word health, we need to be healthy. Well, your definition might be different than mine, different from this other person.
I got a line of shots here that's called I Call Health. You got a line of fruits and vegetables and healthy lifestyle choices that you call health.
Yes.
And that both are using the word health.
Yep.
I think that was a great example because that's the same thing here. I got this version of Christianity for you that's not really based on the Bible from a guy who doesn't really know the Bible. And you got this version of Christianity, which says sola scriptura, the Bible and the Bible alone.
And that's a good point, too. How does he even know what that means when he doesn't even know what the Bible says?
Yeah.
And now he's going to make laws regarding it. And he's going to remove all these other barriers. And he's going to
do all
these
things.
He's got a
whole room of people that can tell him what the Bible says. Evangelicals will tell him what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Right? And then he'll make policies and say, oh, okay, that must be right. I will move that embassy for you, evangelicals. Yeah. That must be right. That must be what the Bible says. I will go ahead and get politicians out there to support the Third Temple rebuild. Like, it's fitting perfectly with the stuff we've been talking about for ages now.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for watching Truth Matters and joining us. On this podcast, we talk about current events in connection with Bible prophecy. Now, if you want to take the things that we're talking about here, which is informing you of what's to come, because there is things coming. This new world order is a real thing. And if you want to be ready, you're not going to want to miss subscribing to one of the other channels, which is How to Country. So make sure you go to the How to Country channel. We show you all sorts of country living techniques and how to be self-sufficient and how to have your own homestead with your self-sufficiency, growing your own food and doing this without the influence of the system. So make sure you go and subscribe to How to Country. We'll see you there.
I'm being indicted for you, and never forget, Our enemies want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom. And I'm never going to let it happen.
And yours, meaning those specific identified groups that we mentioned.
Those who are sitting in this audience today, which you would only you find a dense population of one worldview.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, every communist regime throughout history has tried to stamp out the churches, just like every fascist regime has tried to co-opt them and control them. And in America, the radical left is trying to do both at the same time. There's never been anything like this. But no one will be touching the cross of Christ under the Trump administration. I swear to you, that will never happen. Never happen.
I've never heard a U.S. president say anything like that in my life. You know, and it's not that I'm opposed to presidents sharing their faith, but not in a politically motivated way.
Yeah.
Is he sitting down wanting to have Bible studies to help people find the love of Christ? Or is he saying, let's use the cross and put it up in the Capitol building and use it as a means to dictate people's lives?
It's becoming actually a manipulation symbol instead of actually like his ideology, but it's now a way to manipulate people who find that, you know, in their ideology.
Yeah, that they're drawn to that relationally.
If you're Christian, you better vote for me, because if you don't vote for me, you're not a Christian.
That's basically— Do you hate the cross of Christ?
Yes, exactly.
Like, are you— this is why the Johnson Amendment was so important. Right? Is like, you can't push people.
It's religious blackmail.
Yes.
It's spiritual blackmail.
Spiritual blackmail is a good way to put it.
And I'm sorry if we're like smashing Christians' views on Trump, but we're not attacking him.
No.
We're not trying to say anything about him personally. But the fact is, there is a mission that they're trying to accomplish. And he's being very clear about what that is.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know. Like, let's say what we're saying is objectively true. Let's just say it's true whether a bunch of people don't believe it. I honestly don't know what else we're supposed to do than, like, call this stuff out, like, for what it is. Like, there's only so much dancing around that you can do before you just have to, like, really just tell people how it is. Because how are you supposed to shake someone out of their delusion unless you say, hey, like, this is— look at the contrast here. There's a real problem. So, like, even evangelicals who have been watching more and more of our videos, who are leaving all sorts of comments, this is not an attack on you personally, but, like, if we are right, what else are we supposed to do to warn you but, like, putting these things up with scripture, with video clips, and with quotes that show that this is really happening? Like, I don't know how we could be blamed for trying to warn people and be really direct in hopefully a respectful way, but be really direct. Like, this needs to be called out for what it is.
Turn to the White House. I will once again aggressively defend religious liberty, just like I had for 4 years. You had no problems. But we're going to defend it in all of its forms. We will protect Christians in our schools, in our military, in our government, and in our— and we will protect God in our public square, which they don't want us to do. I will never allow the big media or left-wing pressure groups to silence you, censor you. There's enough filth on our airwaves. American families need a haven where our children can be taught our values, not have radical values forced upon them, the families and the children. We don't want— I will protect the content that is pro-God. We're going to protect pro-God context and content.
That's huge, right?
Yeah.
So now we're going to protect— and when, you know, these words are cleverly used, because people are like, yeah, I want the Christian worldview to be shared. But now imagine that, like, shows have, like, a morality score on them. And if they don't meet the morality score, it can't be put out. And let's say there's a documentary put out about the Third Temple, and we come out and we do a thing about how it's not— that's not correct, and that's not it. But they're saying, well, we have to protect the truth, and because this version of the truth is what we believe, we're going to silence those voices.
Yeah.
So protecting God-related content isn't like this bastion of, like, yeah, that's what we need. It's like a door into censorship, essentially, and censoring any view that is not part of this worldview. So these things we have to be able to decode with our ears. This is clever Jesuit political speech and theater that is meant to, like, get you emotionally riled up, and then you make these irrational choices. And that's how, you know, it happened in Austria, in the Germans coming in. Like, they didn't attack him at first. It was a drawing in emotionally of a political view and ideology that people really hung on to. And logic went out the window.
It was a short space of time.
Yeah, and it happened.
It wasn't like this was a long existential problem, and then now we're going to deal with what our ideology differences are. It was not there to there.
Hal Hitler, if you didn't, you were thrown as an Austrian in jail at that point. And so it's creeping towards that direction with a lot of these things. He's not protecting content.
And the funny thing is, what Hitler said is exactly what Trump is saying. I've been for you. I've been supporting you. And now all I'm asking you to do is to support me. This was one of his speeches, which sounds just like this. I'm taking the arrows. I'm taking the bullets. And that's what Hitler said.
Yep.
I'm taking the hits. I'm doing the hard work. And I'm doing this all for you. All I ask you to do now is go and vote so we can be together and do this.
Yep. And the same, there was a power behind both of these guys that was around in Hitler's day and it's around today. The same group that helped him write Mein Kampf, the Jesuit order, is the reason they sound the same is because it's the same group behind both of them, in essence, giving the same kind of tactics to get people to emotionally buy into things that you would never think were possible from people before, but like it was in during that whole period of Hitler. Like, and we look now like, wow, how could people let that happen? It's this same type of a religious emotional draw that is going to end with the same kind of targeted persecution of a group of people.
This crazy government that we're developing more and more, it's a fascist government. The Biden administration wants to do major harm to you. You cannot let people vote for these people. You cannot let people vote for the Democrats. They're really
You can't let them vote.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, you know, do what you feel is right.
Yeah. I'm the best candidate, and here's why. He's like, you can't. How dare you? You're not morally right.
You're not even Christian if you do this.
Exactly. Hence why you need these separation principles.
Change our whole system of values. Upon taking office, I will create a new federal task force on fighting anti-Christian bias. It's become a very big term, anti-Christian bias. Its mission
will... whole task force.
Yeah. Task force, and it's the same thing about protecting pro-content. Anti-Christian bias, well, some of the stuff we're saying right now could be seen as anti-Christian.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, but it's the truth. Like, the problem becomes, like, it's not about censoring information. It's about putting truth and error in next to each other and letting the ones who can see the truth, like, follow it. But if you start censoring everything out, people won't even have the choice because the truth would have been made illegal, essentially, to even talk about. And these are the types of doors that are opening that I don't think the average person is aware is happening, especially in the United States, that these episodes are meant to, like, draw out and people be like, wow, that is quite a lot of things that are pointing to one particular outcome, to take this more seriously.
Be to investigate all forms of illegal discrimination, harassment, and persecution against Christians in America. As president, I will once again appoint rock-solid conservative judges in the mold of Justices Antonin Scalia and the great Clarence Thomas, who's doing a phenomenal job.
Roman Catholic.
I will stand proudly with our friend and ally, the State of Israel. We will stand proudly with Israel. In our first term, I kept my promise, recognized Israel's eternal capital. That was a big thing. Everybody said, oh, wow. You know, every president, David Friedman, every president for decades was saying during their process of getting elected, during the process, that we will name the capital, we will move to Jerusalem, we'll do all of these things. Never happened. And I understood why, because once I got in, the pressure that was put on me by other countries was extraordinary. Tremendously. You know, don't forget, they said the world was going to come to an end if this happened. Well, nothing happened. Everybody waited. They said this will be the bloodiest thing that's ever happened in history, and nothing happened. And I thought that was probably going to be the result, but nothing happened. But I did it, and Israel, therefore, became the capital.
And as we showed yesterday, not yesterday, in our last episode, the article that says, I moved the embassy for the evangelicals. Like, it was the most direct quote by Donald Trump in the purpose for what he was doing.
Yeah.
And this is what it looks like as we saw, when the church uses the state to accomplish her own ends and the enforcement of her dogmas.
Because what would have that done to the U.S.? What was the purpose for moving the embassy?
There's no end result benefit for any person,
no,
citizen.
No, it was only religious.
Correct. It has a 100% evangelical religious view that made that happen. So, like, people need to start really grasping the real world tangible nature of this, the changes that are coming. So the person that's like, I don't really care about any of this stuff. Well, you will when they start making laws saying things that you currently do and are okay with that are illegal.
Yeah.
Even if it's like what you believe to be right. And that could even be within the Christian worldview if it's not their Christian worldview.
But with the historic Abraham Accords, we did the Abraham Accords. It's one of the greatest things ever done for peace in the Middle East. But the Biden administration didn't take advantage of it.
The Abraham Accords, we touched on that in the Project 2025 episodes. I'd really encourage people to go back and watch those 2025 episodes because, and we haven't gotten into them yet, but Jared Kushner and Trump's daughter, Ivanka, they are playing a huge role in getting this peace in the Middle East kind of accord together. Both of them are Kabbalistic Jews, and they follow a particular brand called Shabbat, I think it's called. And it's strange to me that Trump says he's evangelical, his wife's a Catholic, his son-in-law and daughter are Jewish. He's got a replica golden Ark of the Covenant in Mar-a-Lago, and he's like kind of all the angles needed to bring everything together. And you never hear about Kushner and his role in Kabbalistic Judaism, but there's some strange things where they're wearing the red bracelets. But we're not going to get into all those things now, but like there's so many elements behind Trump. It's not even just the evangelical stuff. Yeah. The Abraham Accords were a really big deal. But as we did in the 2025 episode, the reason that that's bad is because they're all saying we're based on Abraham, but they reject Jesus Christ in the process. So can you have any agreement if the centerpiece of your belief system is rejected, that Jesus is the Messiah and God and the Son of God? Like that. So the Accords can't even be really done under where Jesus says, be ye separate. It's under the principle that if you reject me, then you're no part of me. So the Abraham Accords is like a total farce kind of unification movement that was put together specifically by Kushner and his group over there, overseas.
But under my leadership, we will restore peace through strength before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after we win the presidency. As the Bible says, blessed are the people.
Which says we win the presidency.
Yeah.
So like we've been saying, like when evangelicals have control of the government, well, he's saying he just said in that statement, if he wins, the evangelicals will control the United States government. People need to really let this sink in.
Peacemakers, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. And I will be, I promise, I will be your peacemaker in more ways than what you think. I will be your peacemaker, and I will be the only president that will be able to say this and say it with great conviction. I will prevent World War III. We're very close to World War III. This will be a war like no other. Another top priority will be to take back our education system from the communists and the freaks that are destroying it. On day one, I will sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto our children.
That is all part of the Project 2025 document.
Yeah.
On day one, they have that 900-page document that says we are going to reverse all of these policies. And this is what the ultra uber left gives the right.
Yeah.
Is this ability, I'm going to slash it all down the first day I get there. And people are like, I'm sick of it. And they're legitimately, in their claims, they have legitimacy. I don't want my children exposed to that kind of stuff either. So it's like, it's hard not to get on board with some of the things that he's saying because of the despotism of the left. Nobody can deny that that is, God-fearing person could deny the despotism there, but it's just added the fuel needed for the right to really get motivated. And that 900-page document is just mirroring what he said. On day one, I'm going to start cutting
things
down.
And that's one of the first steps. I mean, that's a big document. And basically, it was said that if Trump gets in, this is going to be part of the policy.
And immediately, like they already know the game plan.
It's the first thing.
And the whole document is in Christianizing the entire United States government. Yeah.
To defeat the toxic poison of gender ideology and restore the timeless truth that God created two genders, male and female. I remember my father took me to Yankee Stadium and Billy Graham was preaching and it was amazing. I was very young. My father loved Billy Graham and that place was packed.
A Freemason.
Yeah, Billy Graham is an evangelical, high Mason, and Trump's father was absolutely in love with him. Like he really was a big Billy Graham supporter. So maybe someday we can do the deep dive into Trump. There's always so many things happening so fast, but there's so much there in his past that shows that he's been set up to be what he's being right now.
I don't know if we still carry the book, but there's a book called Billy Graham and His Friends that talks about a lot of the things behind Billy Graham.
Mm. It'd be interesting to look at.
Bigger than any World Series game, bigger than anything anybody's ever seen, and it was packed. And we would love to bring it back to those days, Jack, right? We'd love to bring it back to those days. Amazing. Our country would greatly benefit by it. Your efforts have inspired millions and millions to live their values and put faith at the center of their lives so importantly. And in turn, these legions of listeners, citizens, soldiers, ministers, and everyday American believers not only help defeat fascism and communism, they help to build America into the greatest nation in the history of the world. But now we are a nation in decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has lost its confidence, its willpower, and its strength. We are a nation that has lost its way. But we are not going to allow this horror to continue. We can't allow it to continue. 3 years ago, we were a great nation, and we will soon be a great nation again. With your prayers, your voice, and your vote, we will reclaim our government from these horrible tyrants. We will remove the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will defeat crooked Joe Biden. We will restore faith and family to the center of American life, and we will restore power to the people. Ladies and gentlemen, with your help and God's grace, the great revival of America begins on November 5th, 2024.
And this is the, like, kind of what we've talked about before, this is the Great Reset versus the Great Revival or the Great Awakening. And it's these two, Hegelianism again, kind of pushing the globalist versus the nationalist kind of ideologies pushing against each other. And the Great Reset narrative is kind of dying, and the Great Awakening or Great Revival narrative is really starting to stir up, especially in the United States. But you're seeing elections going towards the right in almost every country in the world. We're seeing this right switch back over, and all of those have religious context to them.
It's almost seems, and this was in so many countries over the past couple of years, where people were leaning to the right, and the left is the one that won.
Yeah.
Canada, America, Brazil, others, you know, in Europe, this situation happened in several countries, and it's making this perfect storm of right push globally.
Yes.
So that we can have this almost like unified worldwide shift of ideology over to the right.
Right. That's exactly what seems to be happening. I mean, even in Italy, they've pushed religious right again, and the whole globe is moving that direction. And the United States would be like a major catalyst if they switch right, and you see the right circumstances or the Protestant churches, miracles start coming out of them. All the world governments are ready to embrace the religious ideology that would be associated with that kind of giant convergence of events. Really, we got some interesting stuff on the horizon.
Oh, we do.
Hey, everyone. Matt Shaunchay here with Truth Matters, and we need some help. Have you been impacted by Truth Matters or any of Amazing Discovery's programs? Well, now's the time to submit your resume. We're looking for video editors, motion graphics, or anybody who handles media type things. We could really use your resume. So go to the Amazing Discovery's website where we post all of our job postings and send us your resume. We'd love to hear from you. Hope you can be impacted by these programs and help us share the word and truth with all the world.
It's a great revival. So again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank the National Religious Broadcasters. I cannot state strongly enough what an incredible job you do. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, I hope that people listening, and I know there's going to be Trump supporters that watch this, can just put biases aside and just let things be what they really are, which is there is a and they could be on board with it. Maybe there's a bunch of people watching this saying, yeah, I want to unify church and state.
Yeah.
And that's the scariest thing. If you're at that place as a Christian, I really implore you to do more homework on not only Bible prophecy, but also the history of unified church state systems and what happens.
And then what the Bible says is going to take place because of it.
Read the end conditions. It's not a good world. There
is no... If
you're
a Christian and you believe in the Bible... and you are pro-unification of church and state, then go read Revelation chapter 13 and see what church and state leads to.
Yes, and that the whole group of people at the end of time are battling a world unified by one system, making them bow down to an image. Like, this is all worship-based principles. And start to realize that maybe you're advocating for the wrong side.
Yeah.
Because it seems like most of the world is trending towards that. So if all the world is wondering after the beast... and all the world is unifying towards this perspective. It's the wrong perspective.
Yeah.
Because it's a small group of people at the end that have this message in the face of this giant global conversion.
If we see this in Revelation 16 and 17, where it's talking about the plagues that are going to be poured out, the world is being run by the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Mm-hmm. It's an entirely religious world.
Yes. And the false prophet has to do his job so the beast can do his job, so the dragon can get what he wants, which is the worship element. And so people who think that the church-state unification is the answer, it is most 100% certainly not the answer.
Yeah.
And to think that there are people who claim to be Christians that think that's the answer, it breaks my heart. And I don't mean claim to be Christians to demean their Christianity. They could be true in their wanting to accept Christ and claim that promise, that free gift, but have been so twisted by the pastors and ministers and faith leaders that have an incorrect understanding on these things that the outcome doesn't even match what the Savior would have advocated for. Like he said, render under Caesar what is Caesar's, render under God what is God's. He never got involved politically with anything, and people argue that he did. He didn't. He avoided it and made this clear separation between God's government and man's government. And at any point, he showed this.
What is Caesar's? What is God's?
Yes, and he's this servant that is going around and helping all types of people to come out of the political mindset, not to mandate it. Yeah. Like, he didn't say, I need Caesar to go make Christian principles demand it and forced from everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's the antithesis of what his ministry was about. So to think somehow now those principles have changed to allow for this system to occur, well, again, like, let history be the guide. If the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun, that which will be is that which will be done again, take him at his word, because this system that's coming will be granted or accepted by the whole world. And if that's the case and you're on that side, you're actually on the wrong side of it according to what the Bible details is going to happen at the end of time.
Yeah, this has been very, very interesting. I hope all of you guys have seen the things that are being done. And this is coming out very open, which means it is a lot farther along behind closed doors. And if you have found value in seeing this, and there's things that you think people need to see, make sure you share this video, like and subscribe, because that helps us get the word to more people. Go to our Truth Matters or TM Clips YouTube channel. It's in the description. This was a long one. And if you find one section that you think could help someone, then go to the clip on that channel And then you can share that section with that person.
Yeah, which could be like a 5, 10, 12 minute segment out of our 1 to 2 hour videos that we tend to do. So hopefully that could be a blessing for people. And at this stage, also go back to the first one if you want to see even more evidence, not just Trump. And if you want even more evidence, go back to our America in Prophecy episodes that were 5 parts on this stuff. Go to the Project 2025 episodes. Brothers and sisters, there's like a mountain of evidence that we've tried our best to just present to you and say, hey, if it's not like what we're saying, then please, what's the evidence to offset all this stuff that seems to be happening? But we'll continue to keep everyone in prayer, and we ask for your prayers as well. And hopefully we'll be back to do another one soon.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you in the next video.